All right, welcome to your deep dive.
Yes.
Today, we are going way back in time.
Okay.
To ancient Israel.
All right.
And we are going to look at the transition of power.
Yes.
From King David.
Right.
To his son Solomon.
Okay.
This is a very dramatic story. Lots of ambition, lots of intrigue.
It is, yeah.
And we have some really interesting leadership lessons to learn. And we're going to be using a lecture.
Okay.
From Dr. Robert Vannoy.
Right.
He's a scholar who offers a really fresh perspective on this narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So using his insights, we're going to unpack these like pivotal moments that shaped how Solomon came to power. And maybe even uncover some surprising parallels to like modern day leadership challenges.
Absolutely.
So Solomon wasn't the obvious choice to be king.
He wasn't, no.
He had older brothers.
How
did he become king?
Well, you know, this idea of the chosen one and maybe someone who isn't the most obvious candidate pops up all the time in the Bible.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
And so just like Isaac and Jacob, Solomon wasn't the firstborn, but he was specifically chosen by God to follow David.
So this idea of God choosing a leader.
Yes.
That isn't necessarily the one that you would think of. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it certainly makes us consider maybe qualities that might be overlooked in traditional leadership assessments.
Yeah, like what's on the inside.
Exactly.
But even though Solomon was chosen by God, his brother Adonijah.
Yes.
Didn't want to give up that easily.
Right.
Like he really wanted to be king.
Yes.
So how did he try to get that power?
Well, Adonijah, even though he knew that Solomon was the designated heir, he still tried to seize the throne.
Wow.
And what he did was he threw this big lavish feast.
Oh, wow.
And declared himself king. And strategically, you know, left out Solomon and other key figures. And he got the support of Joab, who was the commander of the army.
Wow.
And also Abiathar, who was a priest.
Bringing in a priest.
Yeah.
That's pretty strategic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was trying to leverage religious authority.
Yeah. It makes me think of how, you know, religion's been used to, like, legitimize power plays throughout history.
Absolutely. It's a tactic, unfortunately, not unique to ancient history.
Right, exactly. So that attempted coup set off a whole bunch of like back and forth conversations, kind of like a political thriller almost.
Yes.
Like what happened there?
Well, these conversations were very high stakes.
Okay.
So first, the prophet Nathan, he alerted Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, to Adonijah's plan.
Okay.
And then Bathsheba went and pleaded with David.
Okay.
And then Nathan confronted David.
Okay. And then finally, David affirmed Solomon as the successor.
It's interesting how it all played out like that. What do you make of that?
Well, what's often overlooked is that Bathsheba and Solomon, their lives were actually in danger.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, these power struggles often had pretty brutal consequences.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And it's interesting. So Nathan went to David.
Right.
And instead of accusing David, he expressed, like, surprise at what Adonijah was doing.
Right.
It's kind of a clever way to get David to do what he's supposed to do.
It really was.
Yeah.
By pretending he didn't know, Nathan skillfully kind of led David to see how serious the situation was.
Yeah, okay. So then Adonijah, when he realizes his plan failed, he flees to the altar, grabbing the horns.
Right.
I mean, that's that's a classic image.
Absolutely, yeah. And the location actually
adds another layer of meaning.
Okay.
So he probably sought refuge at the altar on Mount Moriah, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was kept.
So he's basically acknowledging a higher power, even as he's trying to take that power.
That's right. Yeah. So how did Solomon respond?
Yeah. How did he respond?
Well, he didn't immediately punish Adonijah.
Okay.
Instead, he offered him a conditional pardon.
Oh, wow.
If Adonijah proved himself worthy, his life would be spared.
Wow.
Yeah. It's quite a measured response.
It is. That's really interesting.
Yeah. It shows a lot about his character, maybe wisdom.
Right.
And a willingness to temper justice with mercy.
So instead of choosing revenge, he's offering a chance for redemption.
That's right.
What do you think that tells us about him as a leader?
I think it points to A capacity for forgiveness.
Right.
A willingness to extend grace.
Okay.
Even to those who've wronged him.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a powerful statement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, before we move on, I wanted to talk about how, like, before David died, he gave Solomon kind of like a blueprint for good leadership. Almost like a guide for how to be a good king.
Yes.
So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a fascinating passage.
Okay.
And within this political testament, you know, David emphasizes this crucial theme that kind of resonates throughout the Old Testament, this idea that a true king in Israel serves as God's representative and subject to his law. So it's not about personal power. It's not about ambition. It's about responsibility, about service, upholding a divine standard.
Right. And we see this in David's own prayer in Chronicles, where he talks about how God has all the authority and the king's just a steward of that authority.
That's right. Yeah.
So it really makes you think about, like, what qualities define a good king?
Right. Especially in the context of ancient Israel.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great question.
Yeah.
The concept of kingship in Israel was unique compared to the surrounding nations.
Right.
And a lot of other cultures. Yep. Kings were divine.
Right.
They were absolute rulers.
Okay.
But in Israel, Yahweh was the true king.
Right.
And the human king was meant to reflect his rule.
Oh, okay.
By upholding the covenant, obeying the law.
Oh.
They were supposed to, you know, be just, righteous, compassionate. They were supposed to mirror the character of God himself.
So almost like a conduit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think this idea goes beyond just ancient kingship?
I think so, yeah. Just as Israel's kings were called to reflect God's rule, maybe we as followers of Christ are called to reflect his kingship in our own lives.
Okay.
It prompts us to think about how we use our influence, how we make decisions, how we treat those around us.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
Yeah.
Now, even David, who was after God's own heart, had to make some really difficult decisions.
Absolutely, yeah.
And one of those involved Joab.
Yes.
Who was his loyal general.
That's right.
Right.
So on his deathbed, David told Solomon to execute Joab.
Oh, wow.
Despite his years of service and loyalty.
That's a pretty harsh judgment. What did he do?
Well, there were several things that sealed Joab's fate.
Okay.
He killed Abner and Amasa.
Okay.
In times of peace, basically committed murder.
Oh, wow.
He defied David's orders by killing Absalom after his rebellion.
Wow.
So these weren't just acts of disobedience, but they were violations of justice.
Okay.
A disregard for the sanctity of life.
So even though loyalty was important, there were limits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when it went against God's laws and the good of the nation.
That's right.
Now, one thing I always found interesting is this whole idea of blood guilt.
Right.
Like, how does that play into this situation?
Yeah. So the idea of blood guilt, which is where an act of violence pollutes the land and can actually bring about negative consequences, may seem strange to us today.
Right.
But it actually speaks to this deeper truth.
Yeah.
About the consequences of our actions.
Right.
The importance of seeking justice.
And we see that play out during David's reign.
Exactly.
With the famine.
Yes.
Where God was not happy.
Right.
About what Saul did to the Gibeonites.
That's right.
Yeah.
So when David tells Solomon to execute Joab.
Right.
It's not just about revenge.
Right.
It's about upholding justice.
Right.
Cleansing the land from bloodshed and ensuring that Solomon's reign begins on this foundation of righteousness.
Okay. So it's not just about like punishment.
It's not.
It's about healing and restoring.
Exactly. Yeah.
So is David right in giving that command?
That's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, how do we balance justice with mercy?
Right.
Especially when it involves people that are close to us.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
This narrative doesn't give us any easy answers.
Right.
But it invites us to think about these ethical complexities.
Okay.
And recognize that leadership often requires us to, you know, navigate difficult situations.
We've talked a lot about Joab.
Mm-hmm.
But David also left instructions about two other people.
Yes, he did.
Barzillai and Shimei.
Yeah.
Can you talk about them?
Yeah, so Barzillai... Mm-hmm. is a stark contrast to Joab.
Okay.
He shows unwavering loyalty to David.
Right.
Provided crucial support during Absalom's rebellion.
Great.
David, recognizing his faithfulness,
yeah,
instructed Solomon to show kindness to, yeah, Barzillai's descendants.
So it was a reward.
Yes, absolutely.
For his faithfulness.
Yeah, it really was. An act of gratitude, a testament to,
yeah,
loyalty and goodness.
So even in the midst of all this,
yeah,
like, yeah, ambition and bloodshed,
right,
there's still like good things happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to be reminded of that.
Definitely.
Now, what about Shimei?
Ah, Shimei. So Shimei's story is an interesting one.
Okay.
He was a member of Saul's clan.
Okay.
And when David was fleeing from Absalom,
mm-hmm,
Shimei cursed him.
Wow.
Yeah, threw stones at him.
Oh, wow.
It was an act of deep resentment, bitterness.
So he was still loyal to Saul's, yeah, line.
Yes, that's right.
But David spared his life.
Yeah, he did.
Which is pretty incredible.
It really is a remarkable act of grace.
Yeah.
But David, you know, was wise enough to know,
yeah,
that Shimei's heart wasn't really changed.
Right.
So he warned Solomon,
okay,
to watch Shimei carefully.
Right.
Because he knew that resentment might resurface.
So it's not enough to,
yeah,
just like,
yeah,
make pronouncements and like,
you have to actually know people.
Yeah.
And understand, yeah, what motivates them.
And anticipate the future.
Right. But, you know, even the most discerning,
right,
leaders,
yeah,
can't always predict, yeah, what's going to happen.
Right.
So there's always risk.
Right. Okay. So as we're,
yeah,
getting close to wrapping up,
yeah,
this deep dive into Solomon's succession,
hmm,
like, what are some, yeah, of the key takeaways?
That's a great question.
What should the listeners be thinking about?
I think there's several points to consider.
Okay.
First, this whole narrative,
yeah,
highlights the importance of God's sovereignty,
okay,
in choosing leaders.
Right. So Solomon wasn't the obvious choice, but
yeah, he wasn't the obvious choice.
It was God's choice.
Right.
Yeah. So what does that mean for us today?
Well, I think it reminds us that true leadership,
yeah,
is not about ambition or power,
right,
but about aligning yourself with a higher purpose, you know, recognizing that authority comes from God.
And that even those in leadership,
right,
are accountable.
Absolutely.
To a higher standard.
And one thing that I think is really interesting is,
yeah,
how even David,
mm-hmm,
you know, who was so close to God,
yeah,
made mistakes.
He did, yeah.
And had to deal the consequences.
Yeah, it reminds us that even when leadership is guided by, you know, divine principles,
yeah,
it's still a human,
right,
endeavor,
yeah,
full of imperfections.
But it's encouraging, too.
It is.
Like, we don't have to be perfect.
Right. None of us are exempt,
right,
from making mistakes.
Right.
And, you know, God can even use our imperfections,
yeah,
for his purposes.
It's good to be reminded,
yeah,
that God's grace is bigger than our failures.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good reminder.
It is, yeah.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive,
mm-hmm,
it's interesting to think about how,
right,
this whole story isn't just about who would be king.
Right.
But about, like,
yeah,
laying a foundation for a nation.
Yeah, establishing a legacy.
Yeah.
That would impact generations.
Right. So David's final instructions weren't just like, mm-hmm, settling personal scores.
Right.
It was about,
yeah,
shaping the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that he emphasized,
yeah,
those concepts, justice, righteousness,
yeah,
especially in light of this whole blood guilt issue,
right,
really adds another layer,
yeah,
of significance.
Yeah. So it wasn't just about like,
right,
punishing bad people.
Right.
It was about protecting.
Yeah. Protecting the land,
yeah,
the people, the very fabric of society.
So our actions,
yes,
have ripple effects.
Yeah, they do.
And the fact, yeah, that David, mm-hmm, was concerned about this,
yeah,
right before he died,
right,
speaks volumes about his character.
Yeah, it really does. He realized that true leadership, mm, is about more than just,
right,
personal ambition.
Right.
Or even his family's well-being.
Right.
It was about leaving, yeah, a legacy of righteousness.
Right. And this whole idea that,
yes,
the king is accountable to God.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah,
how does that,
yeah, how does that apply to us?
You know, I think it challenges us to think about,
right,
what true leadership looks like, not,
yeah,
just politically, but in our own lives.
Right. So, like, what does it mean, yeah, to be a good leader,
right,
in everyday life?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've learned about David.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned about Solomon.
Yes.
What's one final takeaway for our listeners?
You know, I think it's important to remember that even David, Yeah. Who was so close to God.
Right.
Wasn't perfect.
Right. Made mistakes.
Yeah.
What does that tell us?
Well, it's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah. But I also think it's encouraging.
Right.
It shows us that none of us are exempt from making mistakes.
Right.
God can use even our imperfections.
Okay, so it's good to be reminded.
Yes.
That God's grace is bigger than our failures.
Absolutely.
And it's been so great to talk about this. And for our listeners, remember, keep seeking truth.
Yes.
And keep diving deeper.
Absolutely.